This is the Self-Taught or Not podcast with
Dylan Israel
and Eric Hanchett, where we teach you the do's and don'ts of software development from two software development professionals, one self-taught and one not.
All right. So today we're going to talk about something that is a little bit more of the sort of corporate America, what is the best way to leave your programming job? Something that is kind of crucial, right? You don't want to burn any bridges, but you also want to make sure that you are protecting yourself and your future. So we're going to talk about some of the things that I've done and Eric have done and, you know, what we do to make sure that we're leaving on good terms and we're in a great position as well.
I like this topic because it is something we're all going to have to do as software developers. It's something we don't, probably don't talk too much about because I don't know if about you, Dylan, but when I was growing up, my dad worked at the same company for 20 plus years. He was in the military. I guess not the same company, but he worked for the government for 20 plus years. And so I had this kind of notion in my head that that's what everybody did. You know, you worked really hard. You went to school, you got your job, and then you worked your way up from a lowly guy that sweeps the floors to CEO in 10 years, you know, 20 years, and that companies have a lot of loyalty. And we've talked a little bit about this, and this is definitely not the case. And especially in the software tech industry, people seem to be jumping jobs every few years. And just the sad thing is that, you know, loyalty isn't the same thing as it's been in the past. Now, I personally, I was in one job for about 3 years, and then the second job I had, I was there for almost 8 years, and the job I'm in right now, I've been in there for over 3 years, and I really like the job I'm in right now, but it's definitely not the case. So you are going to probably be job hopping in your career, probably not going to be staying at the same company your whole life. There's no such thing as pensions anymore unless you work for the government, so it's easy to kind of hop jobs and roll over your 401k one job to the other. So kind of talking about how to leave a job, I think, is really important. And let's dive into this.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that's worth mentioning is that if this is something new to you, especially for you're going doing your first sort of job hop sort of thing, I've actually, you know, if we go in the way back machine, I remember being 16, going on 17, leaving, working at Albertsons, which is a grocery store chain, where minimum wage, I want to say, was like $6.50 at the time in California, and going and getting like $1.25 raise to go work at Whole Foods. And I had to do some of the things we're talking about here, which is, you know, probably the first thing is writing a nice letter of resignation that's very clear about what your intent is and giving 2 weeks notice in it as well.
Yeah, that 2 weeks notice, I think, is important. We don't want to leave a job or rage quit a job. Have you ever rage quit a job?
Oh, God, have I? I don't think so. Yeah, there's one time where I worked at this place called Z Pizza, and they didn't schedule me for any shifts for a week. And it was like a part-time job to my full-time job. And I sort of took that as the, hey, we don't want you to work here anymore. So I don't think I rage quit it so much as they just thought my schedule was too much to work around and they didn't schedule me anymore. So that's as close as I ever got.
That's funny. You know, like when I was a kid and, well, when I was a teenager and working in my early 20s, just working like one kind of bad job after another before I got into professional development, I feel like that's how they treat workers at these low wage jobs, especially if you're not full time. So first, there's always like a dichotomy between people who had full time jobs and part time. And usually the part time people, it was like the worst, they were worse off. Those were the people that got no benefits. They had to deal with the worst schedules, they had the least seniority. So while the full time workers can work 9 to 5, the people that were part-time would work from like 2 to 10:30 or, you know, 6 a.m. to 2:30, or they'd have to work. I remember in retail, there was a job where they made everybody go into the back room where they had all the merchandise, and we had to like take the merchandise out of the trucks and then laser line them. We basically make it so that everything is perfectly straight on every single shelf. And that was the job of like all the part-time people working like the crappy swing shifts. So you definitely didn't get much a seniority. And I had that happen too. I was working at Best Buy and I was working sales, and essentially in Best Buy, you just walk up and down the aisles waiting for people to want to buy a computer. And then you kind of talk to them. And really our main motivation, the main reason we were there is to upsell their extended warranty. I believe if we weren't there, that it would be more like Walmart where you just find someone, they give you a computer and you leave. But instead we were just mainly there to sell the extended warranty. So as soon as someone wanted something, they'd have to find us. We would pitch them on the extended warranty and then we would go get them the product. And we were, if we didn't sell the extended warranty, we would literally be, you could be fired. But what would happen is they would start taking away hours. So I was, being a college student and being a computer science student, I was always like talking to customers and trying to like explain all the differences between the different computers. And all they wanted me to do is just sell the warranty. So I obviously, my sales numbers weren't high enough. So I remember just my hours started ticking down and down. I was getting like 25 hours a week and then 20 hours a week and then 15. And then like by the time I was about to leave, I was down to 5 hours a week. Like in some weeks, I wasn't even being scheduled. So that was the first time I was almost about to rage quit. But instead, I got a transfer to which now is their Geek Squad. But before Geek Squad, they had their own guys that worked on computers. And so I transferred over to that department. And then I ended up leaving that job a while after that. But that was really close to me being rage quitting.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say about the 2 weeks notice is I usually go in a certain similar format to any job I've done. I've done this about 4 or 5 times now. And so the format I go is I usually say to whom it may concern, because you're going to probably hand this letter to HR. You might hand it to your boss or your boss's boss. And then I go and say, I'd like to inform that I'm resigning from my insert position at insert company. And my last day will be approximately 2 weeks on said date. And then I say a nice little blurb. I always try to end things with class, right? And that's one thing I want to try and, you know, sometimes people are leaving jobs because it's a bad workplace. We've all worked at bad workplaces. Sometimes you leave for better opportunities. Sometimes you leave because it's toxic as hell and you need to get out. Your resignation letter is not a place where you get one last jab in, you know? So I always like to end a nice little 2-3 sentences about how I enjoyed my time here. I appreciate the growth that has, you know, happened, and wish everybody the best. And so that's a rough format of what I'd recommend.
I think you broke up a little bit there. But I think I heard you say that the letter should be formal. You should give the date that you're going to resign on. You shouldn't actually go after any of your after anybody. You should thank everybody. Is that part of what it is? Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I always do too, I don't know if you recommend this, is I'd also make 2 or 3 copies of it, and I would hand it to my manager and my manager's manager. Especially if I was in good graces with them, just to kind of let everybody know up the chain. And then I'd usually also turn that in, I guess in the day of COVID where we're all working virtual, this is more difficult, but I'd always do it in person, like during my one-on-one or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I usually sign it as well, you know, and I email it as well. So not only do I hand it in person, I then like to email. You know, and oftentimes we'll say, hey, I'm just going to send an email just for everyone's records and all that sort of stuff, just so everyone's on the same page, because sometimes things get lost in communication and paperwork gets lost and all that sort of, you know, silliness that happens from time to time.
Now, this is interesting. So most companies I've worked for when I've left, unless you get fired or something, they usually have an exit interview. So I'm going to ask you this. So I've heard a couple of pieces of advice on this. I want to see what you think, Dylan. So there's one thought out there is that since you'll never work at that place ever again, you should never say anything bad about your employer in your exit interview, because it doesn't do you any good. And at worst, it might be a way for them to retaliate against you. Like, they, if you say something like your process of hiring sucks, or this person was really mean to me, if it ever gets back to that person could try to blackball you. He could try to, retaliate some way, or the company might, most likely they'll just dismiss your grievances because you are kind of an employee that's just leaving. You know, I've seen this too, like people leave Glassdoor reviews, and I've seen companies, some companies take it very seriously, but a lot of companies just think it's just people that are upset and they don't really take much heed to it.
Yeah, so I have a different stance on this than I think traditional advice. I think what you just said is really what the majority of people would give you as advice. But I also think it depends on what type of company you're leaving. I left PwC to go work at Amazon just because it was something I thought would progress my career. I would recommend everybody I know to go work at PricewaterhouseCoopers. It was the best job I've had in my career up to that point, and by leaps and bounds. So did I have feedback to give them during the exit interview? Absolutely. And not only that, I do something that's probably, besides just giving honest feedback, I actually ask for the questions ahead of time. I want to be able to give very straightforward and constructive criticism where it's needed. And the idea there being is that, hey, I want to think about the things that I want to make sure that I touch on the things that they're interested in doing better. And, you know, I've done this at a couple organizations, and I don't necessarily believe that you'll not ever work somewhere again. If you are an excellent engineer at a company, they will hire you back. If you handle your exit with class, and I'm not saying it's going to happen every time, but I tend to think that, oh, I did a great job, and I gave my 2 weeks, and I worked till the last day I was there. I didn't just coast, and I was respectful. It's not impossible that your new job doesn't work out, or down the road you move back to an area where it's there. Some of these organizations, it's really hard to find quality devs, and the fact that you have a reputation with certain individuals, it's going to be much easier to do that.
I guess the point, though, you think they would actually take your feedback and implement it and be thoughtful about it, or would they just brush it off and be like, well, this is just an employee that's leaving. They might be a little upset about a few things. Like, it feels like in some employees, giving criticism to anybody I've found in my whole life, I'll just kind of pull this back for a second. Like, criticizing anyone for anything, I found, is a very tactful art form and should be avoided in most times, because people don't like to be criticized, and companies certainly don't like to be criticized. And even if you try to frame it as constructive criticism, I think it's really easy, especially since it's in writing probably and not in form of an interview, people can take it the wrong way. So at worst, it could hurt you when you try to come back in 6 months and try to get hired if you kind of gave them a bad exit interview.
No,
I guess you have to really know the employee.
I mean, I think generally speaking, most people that are asking, they truly do want to know. I mean, the people who are asking is HR typically. It's not your boss. It's not your coworkers. Usually it's human resources. And their job is to retain talent and get talent. And if you're leaving and you give them some feedback that's super off the wall, they'll listen and they may be like, well, that's kind of crazy to him. But what ends up happening is that Dylan leaves and Eric leaves and so-and-so leaves. And all of a sudden, there's a pattern developing of, well, why are you leaving? And then you're like, well, these three people all said three of the same things. Is there something we can do to adjust that? Now, there may be circumstances where truly you're not going to be able to deal with that. And that's okay. That there's just reality of certain situations, right? Not everything can change, right? Maybe there's nepotism at the company and that makes your work life stressful. Well, good luck getting, someone's uncle or brother or sister fired, right? Like, good luck with that. But maybe there's other things where compensation is in as high as it should be. And I know I've been at an organization where they weren't paying what the market rate was. And, not that I want to say they were underpaying, but based off the numbers they were. And after a few devs left, they did a salary adjustment for the dev department. So there are organizations that will take this into account, because at the end of the day, finding good employees, especially engineers, is a hard task. For anyone who's ever had to interview people for roles, you realize very quickly that, you know, we don't really realize how many people get interviewed versus actually get the job. And it's a longer list than I think people think.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm still a little hesitant to give a whole lot of feedback during my exit interview. I understand all your points and I agree with some of them. I just think that some employers might take that the wrong way, might not take the criticism the right way. But, you know, in a perfect world, I think this, and a lot of companies, it does work that way. Maybe the HR department will take that feedback and start looking into their hiring processes and looking into their pay structure and things that maybe you bring up during an exit interview, and they'll work on it and try to be better at it. And then when you, heaven forbid, you have to come back to that company in 6 months, they'll welcome you back with loving arms. I will say to your point, I agree definitely. Overall, just leaving a good impression for your last employer is really important. We don't know, you know, the tech industry is pretty big, but in your local city, there's a good chance that one company probably talks to the other and that people are friends and you know, people talk. So leaving a company in good terms is always the best way to do it. What do you do? I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Dylan. What happens if you are either laid off or asked to leave? You're fired. How does that process work? Is there any tips you would have in that situation? I know you've never been laid off or fired, so.
Well, I have been laid off. That's not true.
You've never been fired.
Yeah, I've never been fired. Well, so I've been laid off one time. I guess I'll answer this since it's more of my experience, where they canceled the project, and basically they said, wrap up what you're doing. And then, you know, we'll give you severance for the next 2.5 months, which was very generous of them since the project was only 4 months old by the time I was there. In that case, you know, at the time I said, all right, I'm getting laid off. And most people are pretty understanding. They're going to try to do what they can to help you out. And, you know, I asked for people's contact information. The director, I said, hey, can I get your, you know, I had his contact information, but I said, hey, I'm going to start applying. I'm going to put you down as a reference. Is that okay? You know, he's like, yeah, you did excellent work. You just, you know, priorities change. So that's how I handled the layoff. And then I immediately took one day to sort of get my breath, filled out apps after updating my resume, and hit the ground running, right? So, you know, sometimes you can, you know, and try to collect double checks, right? So like I was planning on collecting severance for those 10 weeks while still getting my next check as soon as possible. And so that all worked out for me. Now, getting fired is a whole nother beast entirely. I've had some colleagues who are great people, but were not maybe the best developers they usually decide to get up and go. They, you know, once they get on some a PIP or performance improvement plan, and it seems like, I feel like once it gets to that point, you know, 95% of the time people are like, okay, I'm done for here. And instead of trying to improve, what they try and do is they try and go elsewhere before they can get fired. It's like the old defense mechanism where like, I've dated a few girls who were like, for whatever reason, they would break up with me before I could break up with them, even though I had no intention of breaking up with them, but they were worried about that. I kind of feel like it's the same thing here with, you know, getting fired.
It's like no one wants to get hurt. So everybody wants to be the first person to like make the move. So, and I think it's an ego going on a tangent here, but maybe it's like working for an employer is sort of like dating in some ways. Everybody's waiting for, you know, who's going to blink first. So if you're in a bad relationship and the girl thinks you're going to dump her, she might try to dump you first. I've actually, this reminds me, years and years ago, I remember breaking up with someone and they kind of spun it like they were breaking up with me. Like during the time I'm telling them, hey, I don't think this is working out. I don't think we should see each other. They're like, oh yeah, I thought we weren't going out. Like, listen, I'm breaking up with you, not the other way. So no, that was maybe that happens sometimes as a when you're an employee.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly think sometimes, I know I've dated some girls where we're really going off on a tangent now, but I've dated some women who I feel like on a flip the script a little bit and just started treating me extremely poorly with the intent of forcing me to be the one to break up with them. That's also a power move. So it's kind of a strange thing. And I feel like if you're at a really toxic place, they might do something similar. But typically, at least in our field, I feel like you can get away with quite a bit before they're going to fire you. They might move you around on teams, give you another shot, and, you know, put you on a performance improvement plan. But usually what will end up happening is that they'll, I feel like they'll move you around, or you'll leave before that ever happens.
I'll throw out a story here. I'm not going to name any names. This was many years ago. I had worked at a company, and I knew my time was coming up because I was not giving much work to do. And by the way, that's not always an indication that you're going to get laid off. A lot of companies have lull points where you don't have any work to do, so you kind of have to find your own work. But I could definitely tell I wasn't doing everything I was supposed to do. And I remember, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the podcast before. I might have. I literally remember being in my manager's office and him just going off on me. Like, I've never been yelled at a job before, but this, I think, was the only time I had been. And he's asking me, like, why didn't this work? Like, where what's happening here? What's up with this? It was, like, berating me with all these different things. And I was struggling, and I would just learn this programming language. And granted, I probably wasn't doing a great job, but I just remember him going off on me, and I just... I think this is the first and only time I did this. I actually cried. I actually cried in my boss's office while he was yelling at me. And I remember him being such a jerk that he said something to the extent of, why are you crying? Like, he took him back. Like, he like literally had never thought this would have happened, that I would start crying in his office after he was like berating me. And I remember his way to console me was like, has this happened before? Have you been crying? You know, is this something that you do? Was his like way of calming me down. And I was just so pissed at the guy. And that was when I knew that I needed to leave that place. And I really had the thought of I could transfer to a different department. So I I started putting in applications everywhere, and I just got blackballed everywhere. I put an application for a different department in this company, and I would get no word back. I would like try to call that person, the hiring manager, and they would never return my phone calls. It was like the last 2 or 3 months, I didn't hear anything. And then my manager was like, no help. He's like, I talked to him once. I'm like, well, I applied for this department. He's like, well, I talked to that person, which I knew right away. He probably said something bad about me. And they said they're probably not going to be able to hire for a while. So then I got basically, I guess you could call it laid off, but I think he basically gave me the last day I was going to be there after I had worked there for a while. And I remember like calling every other department, trying to do a transfer. And then after my last day, I took all my stuff out. I wrote a really nice email. We can talk about this too. Do you think you should send out an email to everybody, like a goodbye email? We'll touch on that in a second. And then I left with my box in my hand. The guy, my boss, wasn't even there the last day. Like the last couple days I was there, he never said goodbye to me. He never was there. He just he was basically said you're gone this day, and then I left. And then I remember leaving a voicemail for the one department I thought I might be able to transfer to, asking them like, hey, I'm still interested in transferring, and they never called me back.
You sound a little angry about this still, I'll be honest.
I had to open up a little bit. That was the worst experience I've ever had leaving a company. And it's something I don't talk about much, but it was a pretty awful experience. And luckily this was years and years and years and years ago. So, but
yeah, it's funny you mentioned the, at the start of that you mentioned about not having any work to do. And like, I remember coming home one day and I was like, yeah, I cleared out the backlog. There's nothing to do. And April's response at the time was, that's not good for a new project to not have anything to do, right? I was like, oh, shit, you're right. She's like, yeah, sounds like you're all about to get fired. And I was like, and then, like, sure enough, a week later, she was like, she was right. We all got laid off because they, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, I when it comes to leaving, I don't usually send an email out. If there's like a group chat, what I like to do is I put my phone number, not my phone number, my email and my LinkedIn in there. Occasionally an email, but usually nowadays you have like Slack or Teams or something like that. And I'll include my, you know, say, hey, everybody, you know, it's my last day. Thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. I might even reach out to a few team members that I used to work with that might be on another team directly and just say I enjoy, you know, enjoyed the working with them. But you know, I just usually want to make sure I connect that way, and that's always really helpful, and LinkedIn's really great for that because it allows you to network much easier. You know, a lot of people, you know, they don't really realize how powerful networking is, and it's a little something that it's much easier to do as you start working and you start making connections and meeting people and they can see your work ethic. It's going to be a much harder thing, obviously, if you have no experience, but that's something I always try to take advantage of.
I like doing the goodbye emails. I've done that at every job that I've ever had that I've left. I guess I've only left a handful of jobs in my life, but other than that terrible job I just mentioned to where I was crying in the office, that one... Actually, I did, and now I remember. It's coming back to me. Even after he told me the last day I was supposed to be there, which, by the way, he gave me like a month or two, so it wasn't like 2 weeks you're gone, but he, I did send a very nice, well, goodbye email, and I like, I don't know, it's something about the goodbye emails I like. I like kind of, I send it, I BCC everybody. I don't like to CC everybody. I BC, blind CC everybody, so you don't know if you were on the goodbye email or not. And then I just, you know, tell, you know, thank people who I've worked with because, you know, especially if you work at a job for more than a year or two, there's just so many memories and so many times you've, so many good times and maybe some bad times you've worked with them. And so I go into like little personal vignettes about some people like, you know, thank you, you know, Bob for being such a great mentor to me. And it was really fun when we did this and I'll spend like 2 or 3 hours writing this. And then at the bottom of the email, I'll put my, I usually don't put my cell phone number, but I'll put my LinkedIn address and say, hey, you know, if you guys ever want to come back with me, you know, here's my LinkedIn. I remember the first time I sent one of those out, I had so many spelling errors after I sent it out. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I have so many spelling errors in here because I just like wrote it too quickly. And then since then, I just write it really, really slowly. And then I'm also, sometimes I'll even... go personally to like when I left my job that I had been there for 8 years, I'll go to some people and just personally just thank them like in person. I'm like, hey, it was really great working with you. I'll shake their hand. I'll wish them good luck. I do that too. Like I make a big thing out of it. And in my last job I left, I also got a goodbye party, which is like I've had maybe, I think that I've maybe had two goodbye parties in my life. And that was really special. Like they took us all out to dinner and then we just kind of all, we had some drinks, we had good food. It was lunch, not dinner. It was lunch. And then we just kind of, you know, had told stories about where we worked. I don't know. That's just me. I guess, you know, maybe I'm a little more sentimental and, it, you know, it hurts leaving jobs. So that's kind of what I've done.
It's just business, baby. I got you. You know, it reminds me of the goodbye dinner, which is something you normally do when like you someone leaves, right? And they're going to other opportunities and you want to showcase like, oh, hey, no hard feelings. Wish you the best of luck. One of my very first jobs, they did a goodbye dinner for somebody that for a role that they were laying off. And I was just like, I don't think this is how it's supposed to work. Like you're not supposed to food them and then give them a cake and shit. Like I was just dying. It was like my second week there. And I didn't fully realize what was going on until after the fact. And I just remember thinking back how strange that was.
I mean, yeah, if you're getting laid off or fired, I think like your obligations for the company has gone out the door. Like, I don't think like praising a company that laid you off or fired you makes sense. I would just say nothing. I mean, what is your stance on that? I've heard some people like leave Glassdoor reviews and be like, oh God, this company was amazing. And then I got laid off. I'm like, they can't be that amazing of a company if they laid you off, right?
I mean, Glassdoor reviews are anonymous, right? So like, I mean, just be honest, no matter what. I leave a Glassdoor review for every company I've ever worked at. Because I think that's helful. Like, I know when I go and I look, hey, do I want to work at X, Y, and Z? I look at that. And if there's a really good interview process, I'll go to the interview process. If there's a really bad interview process, I'll go to that and I'll comment on that. Because businesses do look at them. And, you know, it's going to be harder when you start working at some of these super big companies that are employing, you know, 10,000, 100,000, 200,000 people, but definitely on the lower end, sort of the small and mid-sized companies, you'll see the HR people responding back and saying how they're trying to change things. And, but you don't want to do it from a place of like if you're heated after the fact, like you have to wait until you calm down. But for me, if I get laid off, when I got laid off, I was like, okay, this sucks. But it's business. Let me go handle my business. I don't have time to be upset, right? Like, take an hour, take a day. Don't take anything more than that and get back on the horse.
Do you ever... One thing I have also seen... I agree with everything you said about, you know, about taking a little bit of time before writing reviews. I've definitely left jobs and been upset, and it's probably not a great time to write a review. You kind of got to be a little more level-headed because, you know, whatever you write there will last forever. And also... companies can and do will get Glassdoor reviews taken down if they think it's inappropriate or wrong. Fortunately, I think Glassdoor kind of bows to those people. Someone told me there's another website that does reviews like that. That's a little better than Glassdoor. I have to look it up. Do you ever also, if the company doesn't offer like a goodbye dinner, have you ever taken people out to lunch yourself? One company I worked for, a lady was leaving and she hadn't been at the company for more than 2 or 3 years, but she wasn't very happy with it. They didn't give her a goodbye meal. So she just called up, she just invited a bunch of us to go and get some drinks after work. And then we said goodbye to her then. I feel like there has to be some kind of closure at any job that you leave. Have you ever done that?
I mean, I've gone out for drinks after in certain circumstances like that. I wasn't buying or anything. I don't know, man. Like, I've never needed that closure. So minus the one time I was laid off, it's always me leaving for something bigger and better. What closure you need when you're excited about the next opportunity? And it's not to say what was there before was, you know, worse or anything like that. It's just, you know, if my career is progressing, that's the direction I'm going to go. And, you know, I think sometimes people make it so much harder on themselves by just not understanding the dynamics of working in corporate America. And it's an employer to employee relationship. They pay me to do a task. And, you know, whatever that task may be, and I do that to get paid. And that's not to say that we can't be friends. It's not to say that I can't enjoy my time there, but I've never needed closure. Like, I don't know. What I've needed is a paycheck and, you know, health insurance. Like, that's what I've needed. And so, like, as long as I have that lined up, that's more so what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little different that way. I think we agree on most things, and I'm trying to think more that way, be a little bit more strategic, because you can make wrong choices. You can stay at jobs for too long if you sort of think, like, there's this idea of your family, and like, jobs aren't really your family. Like, I mean, they pay you and you probably spend quite a bit of time with them, maybe more than your family if you're unlucky enough to have to work a lot. But if they're not really your family at the end of the day, if a company isn't making money, or, I mean, they're not going to put you over themselves. Like, the company has to keep moving, it has to keep going, and so that means laying people off. I mean, some good companies know how to treat their employees well. I don't know. I've always had a little bit of more the mentality that that it's a little bit more than just business and that it's a little bit more family. And I do like the closure of like one chapter in my life is done and now another one is happening. And it's not, it feels more bittersweet to me most of the time instead of like I'm leaving for a great, better opportunity. I think in some jobs, it definitely was like, yeah, screw this job. This is way better. And this makes total sense. But in other places, it was like, yeah, it's like going back to relationships. Yeah, you know, maybe this girl cheated on you or this guy cheated on you or was harmful, abusive or something, which is no joking matter. But you know, remember that time, Valentine's Day 2017, where you guys both had a romantic dinner and then walked across the beach at night and went back to your place, and it was like the most best night. And you just think of those times and you're like, remember that time I worked at as an employee and they sent us off on this trip to this place and I kicked butt and sold $1 million worth of merchandise. I don't know. You do always have that nostalgic feeling in the back of your head of the good times.
Yeah, it reminds me of this comedian. Was it Chris Tucker that was talking about this new term, mostly peaceful? And it's like, he's like, you know, O.J. Simpson was mostly peaceful all the way up until he murdered his wife, right? Like, that was the joke. And it's like, you know, you can have good memories about something and enjoy it, but like, I don't know, when there's, you know, the one time I let my emotions get the better of me was the only time I really think in my career I've made a mistake. And, you know, so I've always sort of been like, you know, it's business and that's fine. And like, you know, not to say that you can't look out for the business and the business can't look out for you, but I really think when making these big decisions that it's better to look at it objectively, because objectively, the only way, you know, it's like a family is the fact that you spend time together and at times it's toxic. So like, it's just all those items where I think taking the emotion out of it, if you know, and everyone's different, but like, I think that's the better way to approach your career. And I also think you'll probably go farther if you're being more strategic rather than emotional.
Wait, so you said that one time it did happen. What happened?
So I had got a better offer to go to this consulting company. It was more of a tech company that was more of, you know, better pay, better everything. And I ended up getting a 40% raise at my current company at the time, but I probably left about $10,000 or $15,000 in better benefits. And it wasn't that I was just leaving for money. That was part of it. It was also like things were going downhill and I kind of believed they were only going to escalate. But those were my friends that I was working with. And I'm still friends with a lot of them to this day. And, you know, see them from time to time when COVID it doesn't exist. But that was a decision that I made it. And I, you know, 2-3 months in, I regretted it because things just accelerated exactly like I thought they were going to. But I wanted to look on the, you know, I let my emotions get the better of me. And I was hopeful that things were going to get better, even though I knew there was zero chances of that happening. And that was a decision where not only did it cost me time and energy and money, but it was just one of those items where I look back at that and I say, was there a moment where I ever made a mistake in my career, made the wrong decision? And that is hands down the moment.
So you stayed at a job that you turned down an offer to move to a different company. You stayed at your job out of loyalty, plus they gave you a raise to match it, and then you found out a few months later it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it wasn't even loyalty. It was because my buddies worked there. I was like the people I work with. Like, I like these guys that I work with, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't even loyalty so much as I just wanted to continue working with the same people. And it was a mistake in that aspect.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's what we all learn from it. Definitely can look back. I've had a few of those. Let's move on. Let's wrap it up here. But I have a handful of more questions. I just thought of these. You know, Dylan's gone through this more than I have, I think, in our careers, changing jobs and leaving and how to do that the right way. So I just want to throw a couple of these topics out before we close it out. So I'm under the impression that once you leave one job, that you should take off a little bit of time to just to take off a little time before you start the new job. Just to let things settle. If you're like me, maybe I'm probably different than Dylan. Sometimes I need a little bit of a period of time between jobs. It also, it feels like a little bit of a vacation. And if you can schedule the time off, if you can like cash out your saving or your, I guess if you in a company that gives you vacation or sick, you can cash that out right when you leave, then you can have a little bit of a cushion that you can maybe take a week off or take 2 weeks off before you start the new job. So is that something you do or do you don't recommend that?
I mean, I don't do it. I can understand why someone would want to. But for me, like the last 2 weeks of any dev job, usually they're going to give you less work because they want you to wrap things up and leave it in finished state. You're doing some offboarding stuff. You have to sign some paperwork, do an exit interview. So it's a little bit of a lighter week than your typical, than maybe typical jobs. I just like to keep going. I look at the PTO. Like I was maxed out. I had over a month of PTO that it'll be taxed as a bonus, but so it won't be as like getting a full two paychecks. But I look at that as just sort of a bonus that gets cashed out. I would have preferred to take the time off, but it didn't work out that way. But I don't do it, but to each their own. I don't really think there's anything wrong with it. I will say that if you are going to do that, you definitely probably want to let them know. You know, your recruiter will ask you somewhere along the way saying, hey, how much time do you need, you know, in between jobs? And usually you'll say, I want to give them 2 weeks and then maybe take a week off for myself. You know, so just sort of maybe be upfront about that.
So from the time, so you have to be working all this time, like during your regular job hours, like going to interviews, writing your resume, studying. And then basically once you get the job offer, you put the 2 weeks in and then you tell your new job that you need at least 2 weeks before you start the new job, or at least maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most future employers, if they're any good, want you to give 2 weeks to your current employer, so you do the same to them. But I don't take any time off. If I end my week on Friday, on Monday I'm starting my new job. You know, I make sure to sync it up like that.
What about time off? Would you think it's ethical to take to start taking a bunch of time off before you end up leaving, just to get rid of all your time off, especially if they don't cash it out?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I thought about it at the time. I have, you know, a full month of PTO, and I was going to actually, because of the way the schedule was going to work out with holiday break and vacation, it would have ended up I had like 6 weeks off. And I was thinking, oh, I'll just take 6 weeks off. Maybe I'll interview. Maybe I'll apply for jobs. Maybe I'll work on projects. Like, I'll just chill, right? I'll do like a 6 week staycation. I'll do like a 6 week early retirement. It's your PTO. Use it how you see fit. Now, if you have unlimited PTO, that might be a little shadier because you know, you don't really earn PTO. They just sort of give you days off. But I don't think there's anything wrong with using the days off that you have. And the company truly doesn't care either from a financial perspective. You're the one that's going to be taxed heavier, but they're still going to have to pay the same amount.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the company too. If the company allows you to cash out the PTO one-to-one when you leave, then you can feel fine putting in your 2 weeks, make sure that they cash out and give you your full vacation when you leave. If the company has a policy of not cashing out your PTO when you leave, then you might have to ask them like, hey, I want to put in my 2 weeks, but can I get paid for the next four after that? Because I have 4 weeks of PTO. I guess you would have to kind of know the company if they would be okay with that. I've definitely heard of people leaving companies in the last 2 weeks. They're just using the rest of their time, their paid time off or their vacation. Now, yeah, then the third scenario is you get unlimited PTO. And a lot of times, a really big benefit of unlimited PTO for businesses is that they don't have to pay you anything when you leave because you haven't accrued anything. Yeah, so I definitely agree there. Like, that's a little shady to leave. But most of the time, most of the places you've worked at, they've just cashed out your vacation, right?
Yes.
Your PTO when you've left?
Yeah, yeah.
You've never had to, like, say, hey, I'm just taking the next 2 weeks off. Please pay me.
Yeah, no, the only thing is, like, there have been places I've worked where come the start of the fiscal year or the new year, they may let you, let's say you're at 200 hours of PTO or something like that, only 100 carry over, so you're going to want to use it at 100. And if you quit while you have 150 hours and only 100 carry over, they may only pay you for 100 of it. But yeah, most of the time they just cash it out and write you a check.
And then usually sick isn't, most places don't pay you out for sick.
So. No, yeah.
So maybe use it with some of those sick days when you're doing those the interviews.
Hot tip, when you're using your, you know, sometimes you'll get floating holidays or you'll get sick days. Those are always your first use PTO days. It's really what it comes down to. So that's definitely what you want to use first.
Yeah, I remember that getting floating holidays at a company I was at. It's like, this is kind of nice. It's like not PTO, but it's not sick, but use it anytime. Okay, one other thing. We kind of touched on this, but what about referrals? So do you have any strategies of how to get referrals? Do you normally ask for referrals? Do you get them in writing, like old school letters that you're going to hand in your new employer? Do you have them write it on LinkedIn? I personally, I'll just go first and say I've never gotten a referral to any previous employer ever. I don't know why. I just think it's kind of weird and awkward just asking someone. And it's probably not. It's probably in my own head, like asking someone like, hey, can you write a referral letter to me? Or can you go on LinkedIn and do this? I just never done it. No one's done it for me either. So. And I've never written one for someone else.
Yeah. So, dude, my dad got me started on this years ago. I literally have a letter of recommendation from, like, the pizza places I worked at. And, like, I was like, okay, cool. Like, it's just another...
He's the best pizza maker ever.
Yeah. Excellent team member. I should go find that and see what it has to say. Maybe I'll put it in my book when I talk about the letter of recommendation sort of stuff. But, So I used to ask for one for every job, and I stopped a job or two back when I started realizing that people didn't care. That is the truth of the matter. That especially in my circumstance where I have so many projects out there that, like, if you want to see what I'm about, there's plenty of content out there. Like, if you Google my first and last name, the first 2-3 pages are me and, like, software projects. But also, not only people didn't care, like, people just didn't want to write them. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. They didn't want to deal with it. It's a little easier when you ask for, like, a LinkedIn sort of recommendation because they're one sentence or, you know, one paragraph. So I'll usually ask that of friends and colleagues that I've worked with and bosses. But generally, I don't ask for letters of recommendation anymore.
Yeah, I've never heard of... The only time I've heard of people like looking for letters of recommendation is certain government jobs. Like my buddy was an officer, a sheriff's deputy. And during the interview process, they actually asked for 3 letters of recommendation from people that had worked with him or friends of him in the past. And I was like, wow, I've never seen people do that before. And I actually wrote one for that. And then also when I was getting into grad school, they asked for a letter of recommendation from colleagues. So I had my boss write one, and he wrote some really nice things. And then he said later, like, don't let this get to your head. I'm like, okay, thanks. But that is the only time I've ever written letters of recommendation or asked for someone to give me a letter. So I think people just don't look at them as often. Maybe if you are trying to go for a job and you really, really, really want it, maybe you put a bunch of letters of recommendation in with your cover letter. Like, you could sneak that in, maybe. Because this is also another thing we didn't really touch on, although it's more related to getting a job than leaving a job, is getting a cover letter. Because I know some companies now have it in their process of applying. You have to write a cover letter. Some companies don't have it at all. And sometimes it's, like, optional. So I would say, like, if you are going to do the old school route and get a letter of recommendation, I don't know any time you can bring that up during the interview, I would slip it in with the cover letter that you write.
Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes because I've mentioned it a couple times, that, you know, when they do the cultural interview part and they say, you know, what would your previous employers say about you? Or what would your previous colleagues? That might be a time to say, you know, I have a letter of recommendation from all of them. So they, you know, they would probably have some pretty good things to say and happy to showcase it. I've also in my cover letter, as well as in my resume in the past, had a link to where people could go and download those letters of recommendation so that, you know, they could go and see them if they're interested.
Huh. Yeah. I think that's like the question on the interview about like, what do you think your previous employers or what did your previous employers think of you? It's more of a tactic for them to see if you're going to badmouth your previous employers than them really caring what your previous employers thought of you. But I like that turning that around and being like, hey, by the way, I have a letter of recommendation from them. If you like, it kind of makes you sound really, really good, especially during that culture fit, getting to know you phase of the interview that all companies have. Interesting. One last thing before we wrap up. We did talk about, you know, getting laid off or fired. Do you have any advice? And I used to think this way, and I'm not sure if I still do, is if you have, if you think you're getting laid off or they tell you you're laid off or fired, that you should then ask them if they, especially if it's fired, if they could change it to being for you resigning first. So maybe your permanent record with them shows that you quit first. And then so you send in a resignation letter as soon as they told you you're laid off or fired. That way you can basically say, well, I technically resigned before they fired me. Do you have any thoughts on that or do you think it matters?
I don't think it matters with being laid off. I think if you're fired, they might give you that option. They might even suggest it. But I would probably do that. I'd be like, you're firing me? Well, I guess I resign. So I don't know, man. I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm being fired. Like, I have so many horrible, and this is kind of like why people go and they resign first, right? And they go to avoid that. But yeah, I would say probably like that might not be a bad idea if you're actually getting fired. I don't think it matters if you're getting laid off. You know, if you're getting laid off, so are other people, and it's a business decision. And like, that's just how I explain it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't really know in like the grand scheme of things, maybe someone listening, thank you, by the way, if you're listening all the way to the end, could tell me, but if you get fired from a job, there's, depending on the state that you're in, your next employer probably won't be able to find out that you got fired. Or if they can, they can call your previous employer and maybe ask if you still work there. And they can maybe ask if it was voluntary that you left or not. It feels like it's really murky, like how much information an employer can get from your previous employer and find out if you got fired or not. And then a lot of times, and I've seen this kind of trick too, is if you get fired from a job or laid off from a job and you're kind of weird about that and you don't want your next employer to know, don't put an end date in whatever resumes you send out or LinkedIn that you send out. And this is maybe more black hat. I don't know if you might think this is wrong. But that way, when you apply for a new job, basically they won't know that you actually already left your previous job, got fired or got laid off. So they can't technically call your previous job because of that. And so that could get, you could just say like, yeah, I really love working here, but I'm thinking about leaving. And technically you've already left. I guess that would be lying, but it's just kind of a small white lie, I suppose. And then also it eliminates the problem that if you can't find a job right away, they don't see this big gap. Like if you haven't got a job in 6 months, they don't have to be like, oh, what happened? You have this 6 month gap. You could just leave that you're still working at the same job.
Yeah. Just try and avoid this altogether. I think it's the best advice we can give.
Is it okay to, would you recommend someone to not put an end date at their last job if something happened and they left?
I wouldn't do it just because I think we're sort of getting into the territory of shady business. That's just me.
Yeah, fair enough. We should do a whole episode on That might be a good one. Might have to take some research, like black hat ways of getting jobs that are a little bit naughty, but not to the point where you're like going out of the way and yelling or completely lying to people.
We're going to embrace our inner Joshua Fluke. Is that what?
Yeah, you knew it. That's where I got it from. He gives a lot of advice on how to like be a little shady, but not to the point where you're like, you know, being a criminal. All right. I think that's it. Any parting words?
Nope. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Hope this helped you. If it did, you know, tweet us. Eric CH, ERIKCH, or Dylan Israel. Later.
Hey, guys. Thanks for watching. If you want to find more about what I'm up to, go to DylanIsrael.com.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can check out my website at eric.video. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And if you do, you might even be featured on our next episode. Don't forget to check out the website at selftaughtornot.com. From there, you can sign up for a mailing list where we give away free courses and a bunch of cool stuff. And we'll also let you know when the next episode comes out. And finally, if you didn't know, we have a Facebook group. It's called Code, Tech, and Caffeine. We have over 10,000 members. And you can find the link at selftaughtornot.com. So come join us. We have tons of developers willing to help you guys, mentor you guys. Check it out. Just make sure you go to selftaughtornot.com and check out the Code, Tech, and Caffeine link. Thanks and take care.